Hello and welcome to I Wish I Knew That About Songwriting, the show that brings you tips, tricks and techniques that we wish we knew as young songwriters. We're going to focus on interviews, resources and subjects that you will find useful and you can use them today. Thank you so much for listening and welcome to the show. Hello, and it's just Jamie here. Of course, I know you know me, but I've hijacked this episode to talk to an absolute legend who has actually inspired me. And I just want to tell you a little bit about her before we get started. Hannah came to me through a good friend of mine, James Cunningham, Busy Boys fame. And we started working together and I quickly realized that we had someone who was extremely special. And not only because she's done incredible work with Fresh Heather, but as I got to know Hannah, I realized that she had like a superpower in terms of half of the equation that I love to talk about on this show. So if we talk about preparation and portfolio, the other half Hannah had in absolute abundance, which is creating opportunities for herself. So I was so inspired talking to her as to what she'd been able to achieve without any demos, really. Like, anyway, I want to get you guys to meet her first. So got loads of questions, Hannah. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Amazing. Thanks so much for having me. I'm great. Thank you. Slightly confused as to why I'm here. I think it's going to be amazingly beneficial podcast for people like me that are crazy. So I'm in the hot seat. I'm ready.
I love it. And a bit of context, like you run Fresh Heather, which is an incredible marketing agency company. You're in the brand new studios right now. She's too busy, guys. You can't book her. Too busy working with Urban Decay, L'Oreal, whatever. But today, I want you to answer the question. When did you start writing songs, Hannah, and why?
Okay, this is where I completely lose credibility to all listeners, but
love it.
Started writing songs at the start of 2022. So super new endeavor for me. It was kind of something that fell on my lap in a weird roundabout way and just immediately had such a huge appetite for it and kind of a weird, crazy belief in myself that maybe it's something I can do. So hence how we got in touch, and I'm, 8 months in and loving it still, but very, very new. But also definitely feel like I have my finger on something here.
I would 100% agree. And again, testament to where you are right now, Hannah's got some cool plans for that space. But let's say you started in 2022. We've been working together for maybe 3 months, maybe. So can you just talk about why you wanted to start writing and kind of why you got in touch?
Kind of really random story, but was dating a girl back around Christmas. She was in the music industry, something I've never thought of before. And I think we all have those voice notes on our phones where we've recorded ourselves singing just to check if we were good. Obviously, mine was terrible. But at one point in my random brain, I decided to make a beat on a random app that I must have got for free off the App Store. And I sent it to her and she was like, wait, this is actually like kind of weirdly okay. And I was like, I'm going to try and make a song. And she was like, you should go on Splice. Me not knowing what that was at all. But I was like, cool, I'll go on Splice, made a song. Ended up making a trap song and sent it to her. And she was like, no way. That's just not, you didn't just make that. And I was like, this is genuinely good. Look back now, I know. I actually still like the song, so fine. But from there, I kind of just got a bee in my bonnet and was like, I'm going to write songs. And I got obsessed. I've got ADHD. I'm massively like someone that hyperfixates on something. Didn't really have any plans for it, but I just knuckled down. I just kept writing and kept making things, kept getting kind of different samples together. Started off as more of like a production side of things and then realized that I really love lyrics. I love writing kind of even poems and I love writing in general. And it was very cathartic and more like a therapy session, I guess.
I love it. And again, I can testify to that, that when James said to me initially, because you pinged into my inbox, you're like, hey, this is what I want to do. It's like amazing. And you jump on the phone the next day. You sent me some songs and she was like, I just started writing recently, like yesterday. I was like, okay, cool, right. We'll see what happens here, right? And I hear it and go, sorry, what? Which part of this did you do? Like, oh, I did the production. I was like, no, you didn't. Anyway, then you sent the other 5 songs. I was like, okay, cool. You've just started writing. I'll be honest about that. But then I was like, this is unreal. Someone's done, these are the first 5 songs someone's written. So part of why Hannah's on here is because I think Hannah and I will admit, and we'll talk about it later, that the other half of the equation, which is preparation and portfolio, right? That's the side that we are still working on, but she's come along massively. As she even said, she can see perspective on her song she wrote 3 months ago. But the other half was just hilarious. So if you wouldn't mind, Hannah, like, what did you get yourself into before you'd even started writing songs in terms of like the industry and making moves there?
I do have the benefit of the background that I do. I have a creative agency. I work on production. It's very much the same framework. And I think I definitely have this blind confidence with the industry that I'm in, and maybe a bit of naivety to the music industry, where I don't really see the hurdles in front of me, where I think from my initial understanding of this industry, it's very much, who are you, who you know, where you've come from, are you good enough? You shouldn't be talking to so-and-so because you're not so-and-so. And I definitely just don't have that attitude. For me, if someone's in the room that I think could be great to talk to, or even just a great connection, I'm the first to walk up to them, which we'll get into later. But I've always had this self-belief, and I've noticed it more so than ever in the music industry as to how many barriers people have already kind of before. I haven't even finished one proper song yet, but we've got a big bank of ones that I do really like, and I've been working on kind of just getting in the right rooms, whether it's been planned or not, and meeting the right people. And that's definitely how I built the agency that I have today with Fresh Heather, and probably why I have a vision that I believe I can achieve with the music as well.
I think that's perfectly said as well, because you realize that working on songs is why we're in touch, because I quickly ascertained that, as most people do, like, I tend to focus more on the side of like portfolio and helping people write really well, and techniques, and in terms of inspiration as well. The inspiration meter, Hannah was sending me stuff, like, you were bombarding the WhatsApp, and it was genuinely inspiring. Like, I think for some people that would be annoying, but because of your context, I was like, I'm really impressed here because of the volume and the things you were willing to write about. Like, again, you talked about, like, quite in depth, your struggles you've had with mental health without talking about too many details, or family or relationships, or in terms of your sexuality, and like, just, but really beautifully written in terms of being honest. But then what was really inspiring about you was, like, I had a fire under my ass. I was like, well, she's out there. You can't remember, but again, we don't need to name drop, but you were going out to kind of nights in London. I was like, Hannah, you realize that you haven't like completed a song yet. And she was handing out her demos to ... But like, you're the life of the party. I think you underestimate like how valuable that is. And how do you see yourself now in terms of like preparation and opportunity? What are you working on at the moment?
Yeah, I think I've definitely been that person that if anyone's going to get in front of who they want to, it would be me. And there's always like a running joke with myself and my friends, like my business partners, like, obviously it's you. Like, obviously you're there.
Every single time.
Obviously you're on the stage. Obviously you're now like talking to the most important person, whatever it is. But I think the element that I have there is kind of the naivety. I don't understand why I shouldn't, and I don't understand why anyone shouldn't. And I think we've all see doors as closed, and I'm definitely someone that sees the doors as waiting to be opened. With opportunity.
It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. It's funny. I've got so many stories which one day have to be in a book or something. But where I'm at right now is I've kind of gone through that stage in my brain where I had so many ideas and put them all down and got really excited, have some ideas that I really love, but they're all at the stage of they need tweaked, they need finalizing. I'm kind of building a studio here at the offices, which is great. Setting up the foundations, trying to tweak everything. I'm not at a stage to share anything with anyone now. I think I've shared to an extent and got good feedback, which has reassured me that,
which is awesome,
I'm going to carry on, because I wanted people's honest opinion. I didn't come into this industry thinking I'm going to be the best, and it doesn't matter what people tell me. Like, I think I came to you, Jamie, and was like, if I'm shit, please tell me.
You said
right
that
now.
So many times, and yeah. I was like, There are parts where I was like, okay, this is like the start of someone's growth in lyrics. So this is the start of someone's growth in melody. But I actually, you've done it really well there. But I remember hearing your songs, I was like, cool, I think you were hitting lyrics on the head. Like, you had great ideas. Like I said, the topics is like, but that's on the head. And then we had melodies and stuff. Because again, like, naturally, you're not a singer. But in 4 months, I'm like, Hannah, you are singing now. And it's, and the growth that I'm seeing is the reason why I've got you on here. Because it's like, it's just to check my own kind of comfort, if you will. I was like, damn, she's out here doing so much more, you know, or the same even, than what's taken me 10 years in terms of portfolio and preparation. So to me, it's just proving the other half of like opportunity. But
yeah,
I remember us working on melodic contrasting. So just from your perspective, what was that like to hear that and then go and do it, which you did, which is hilarious.
Like, just to put into context, like, have no background in music at all. Like, was not the kid that sung, was not the kid that went to music class, like, didn't play like any instruments whatsoever, don't know what a chord is, still kind of don't know what a chord is, just kind of like trying, like, have taught myself the MIDI keyboard.
But I
like,
love it.
But this is one thing which I think I've definitely just observed is, and it's the same with my industry, it's like, you don't have to have a degree to be an artist, you don't have to have X, Y, and Z. And I don't have any credentials for the work that I do, but I'm the creative director of a big agency working with top brands who trust me. It's like, it's the willingness to learn and adapt, and learning about melodic contrasting for me was just learning the framework. I didn't have any kind of notes to rely on when I first wrote a song. I just wrote it because I heard how I thought it should go. I didn't know that you should play the chorus X amount of times and there should be a verse and a pre. Like, I didn't know what that was. And I'm still learning what that is. So it was kind of taking my raw ideas, putting them in the right order and in the right way to make sure that my song wasn't 7 minutes long, which I think my first one probably was.
You got close, but you're right. We cut it off early. But I think you learning so quickly was amazing because, again, I talked about melodic contrasting and even lyrics, but particularly melodic contrasting. I remember like maybe first 2 weeks working together, first couple of sessions, you know, we were like, okay, we just need to really not say too much because you were just spraying ideas out. And I was like, this is brilliant. Like, people would wish to be here. And like you said, that was early on. But then I remember the second batch was like, okay, she's really got that. You know, when you say something to someone and you're not sure if they've got it, but then there was a certain point where it was like, well, every section now has a different, because again, like you were doing spoken word because you didn't know the rules. You were like, well, I feel like speaking this part, then I feel like singing that part. And what you had was this amazing spectrum of delivery, which is melodic contrasting. So what I talk about is like from spoken intros to like sung falsetto high pitch choruses. And I was like, okay, this person's clearly getting it and we're still working on it, right?
Yeah.
But I was just super impressed by that. And I kind of want some of the funny stories, if you wouldn't mind. Can you remember?
Definitely.
I know there's a recent one, which is smashing me. Can you remember the very first one, like how you ended up in that? I think it was a club or someone organizing an events night or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of said to you like I think it's probably the first time we met. I was like, if it's good, if you don't tell me to leave now, and we continue to working together, I'll get the music where it should be. Like, I will. I just got that mentality. And it's really not with, I hope to think it's not with an ego. It's more with just like, I believe in myself, and a lot of people don't have that. And it's a shame. Like, I think we should all believe in ourselves. I think, why is it the norm not to? It's confusing to me. But I'd gone to see a friend of mine perform. She was performing at Soho House, and it was a private venue, or like ticketed, very, very small. People were sat on chairs. Like, there was a reserve chair and there was a guy at the front and very like, dripped out in designer, had his headphones in, clearly was someone, whether, I don't know, I'm very new to this industry. I walk into this room, dark room, I put my sunglasses on as if I am somebody, which is just absolutely ridiculous. But I was watching my friend, I was with my other friend, and we were just having a laugh. And Heather, my business partner, was like, I dare you to go sit next to that man. I bet he's like here for a reason. So I was like, I go off and sit next to him and I'm like, can I sit here? He's like, the seat's taken. I'm like, by who? He's like, you. I was like, oh, great. I'll just sit down then. So I'm now sat at the front row with this guy who's clearly a music, like he's there to see talent and book talent, essentially.
Yeah.
And he's like, so what do you do? I'm like, I'm a songwriter. Bear in mind, just started writing songs, like literally zero.
You would like send me a message like, you've done what, Hannah? It's like, yeah, I was just talking, yeah.
But also I write songs, so therefore I'm a songwriter.
What makes you a runner? I run. Cool. Yeah, I love it.
And I think it's quick if I tell the story to think it's ridiculous or you're not a songwriter, but why am I not a songwriter? Like, that's where our mentalities change. Anyway, turns out that was on tour with Whitney Houston, with Michael Jackson. He started Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears. So, I mean, could I have been in front of a more important man? No. He then puts me on his Instagram stories, fist pumping me. Everyone in the venue's like, who are these two people? They obviously know who he is, but now I'm there. I go to like leave the venue and like I could see the artists that have been performing like walking up to me as if to like I was maybe going to say something. I was like, oh my God, I've really just sat next to the most important person here. And that's really funny.
and you know what I love is I think people might not know about you that they do need to know is like Hannah will go and do this stuff. But then also she will come to me and go, this thing is really annoying me. How do we deal with this section? What is the technique here? But I think maybe week two, you were like, hey, I know it's brash, but like, what do I need? And you were like, boom, okay, yeah. I'll grab Logic. Okay, I'll grab a little keyboard. Like you said, you didn't really know what chords were, but you were going out and doing this stuff. There you go. You're doing this stuff that was like, this is, again, I had to check my own self and go, yeah, I need to keep making connections in my life. And that's how the big things have come. And that is what I want people to see is like, Hannah is out there doing this nut stuff. If she didn't have the work ethic and ability to be humble and want to learn about songwriting, then she would have fallen on us. Because she's lovely, because she's creating these opportunities, and you have this wonderful mindset that can't be taken for granted. So maybe you're cheating a tiny bit because you've done so well with Fresh Heather, and like that is all about, like, you know, you dance on the table and then you sign a business deal the next week.
I mean, I think there's definitely something there, which it's a shame people don't have more of. And I'm not saying like I'm a perfect example of, but I essentially started this agency at 19 when I was in a stable job. I didn't need to be doing this. It was kind of wild, but I saw a talent in my business partner, Heather, to kind of go for gold. And I said, who's your dream client? And she was like, Nutella. And I was like, great, we'll work with Nutella then. And you bet our second client was Nutella. And
unreal.
I think it's like, I really, really understand the human side of work and success. Yes. And everyone is a human at the end of the day. And people might see me as successful, but I am literally the girl that's dancing on a table. And the CEO of L'Oreal is a really nice, well, was a really nice guy that had children that we talk about. So it's like, I take down the barriers of who those people are and who I think they are. They're not important. They're the same as me. And why shouldn't I go and talk to, I don't know, the best pop star in the world? Like, why shouldn't I? They're as human like me. And yes, okay, sometimes realistically, there's going to be more barriers than that. But I think people are very quick to judge because they probably judge themselves a lot as well. That's and don't believe in themselves. And there's definitely been situations even recently with me doing music where it's maybe not been supported by people around me because they think it's kind of ludicrous. But I think the realistic kind of take on that is probably more of a insecurity or a threat.
And I remember, like, not that you were overly hurt about it or you didn't understand because you just explained it there, but I remember during the session you were like, oh, I showed this to someone who, again, we're not going to go near naming them, but like, showed this to someone and they were really upset, or they were saying you didn't have the right or something like that to write music. And I was like, hold on.
Yeah,
that was, you know, my first thought when we met. I was like, this person's mad. And I say that to this day in a positive way. And I was like, she's mad, but she seems like she wants to invest and she wants to learn how to do it. And then you showed up every week in our sessions and now you're kind of getting it. So it's like, we're checking in now and again. Yeah.
I'm reading a book at the moment on something agility. It might be called like mindset agility, which it's all about like agile working. Like, we work in an agile way at the business, but also just having an agile mindset and being very flexible. And there was a point I was reading, I think it was yesterday, where they talk about kind of that 10,000 hours thing. And I know that's flown around a lot, which is great, but there's a other side of that. I could be the most talented painter in the world. And we know that kids grow up and are great at painting, or kids have a great voice. They do not need the 10,000 hours, but we might accept it if they're a kid. But as an adult, if you come on board and you find a skill that you didn't have previously, there's a judgment that's placed on it. And yes, it's important to put in the hours. And don't get me wrong, I work really hard. So I'm okay to say this as well, because I do work very hard. But we shouldn't be denying someone of something because of our perceived, have they worked hard enough or have they fought hard enough for it?
Because that then is a judgment. And we know there are like socioeconomic inequalities. We know that. But to me, when I met Hannah, I was like, right, always through my equation of half of it is preparation, repetition and portfolio. Half of it is, are you willing to go out there and tell people about what you do, but to be positively received as you have been? That's the subtlety. And I think people that are jealous of that, there were even parts of me I was like, damn, she's really killing it. But then, you know, because we could have those conversations, like, so that just turned it into me going out and finding more opportunities for myself, which we'll talk about in the show in the future and stuff. But today is all you. And I think in terms of like, how do you see your songwriting now? How do you feel like you've come along since we started?
Yeah, definitely. So I think in all honesty, like where I am right now is personal life and moving, et cetera, moving office. Like I'm actually in a bit of a creative slump, but how I see that is great. I just won't do anything for a minute. Like, take a sec. Because when I'm in a flow, I jump on there and I'll write 6 songs in a row and it will be great and I'll like them and I'll walk away. And when I'm in this mindset, it's like, if I don't want to, I paint and I do sewing and I do whatever. I mean, if I don't want to sew today, like
I call Hannah and she's sat in a beautiful house. Again, she's doing all this. She just moved house, just started a beautiful office. I look behind and go, oh, that's a nice painting, Hannah, who did it? She goes, that was me. I'm like, oh, fuck off. But anyway, yeah. And I think you doing this at a time, that was it. I wanted to say that you kind of rode that wave of creativity. We talk again about the creative side and the critical side within songwriting. You rode that creative and you didn't question it. You let the paint fly, which you know, again, from painting, which is beautiful. But now recently, what did we do, right? Our last call, what did we look at in terms of your goals and what we're looking forward to?
We literally just took my whole folio and just went through one by one. And I think we took like 30, 40 songs and we've whittled it down to like 5 or 6. And that's not to say I don't like some of the songs or some of the lyrics, but it's like, okay, being critical now with my kind of working brain, what am I going to now refine? Like, I could write for the rest of the year and make 2,000 songs, but if I don't finish one, where's that going to take me? It's kind of frustrating and like without a doubt sure that whatever I make is not going to be something that's ever seen probably now, but I've got to get to that process, got to get out and kind of take it through to the end. I think one thing as an artist, which a lot of people are going to relate to, whether you're making a backpack on your new sewing machine that you bought from John Lewis last week for no reason, or you're making your paper Gucci jacket that you've decided to make because you thought that you would decide to make a whole paper clothing range, which
they sound quite familiar. They sound quite close to home. Yeah.
Or when you decided to go to the Dominican Republic to join the circus, you might decide the next week that you might not want to do that week. So, but you've got to see it through, right? So I've got a lot of unfinished handbags and I've got a lot of unfinished paintings. And at the moment in my life, I'm at a point where my goal isn't anything new. And this is across the board. It's with my work. It's with all my other projects as well, which songwriting just being one of them, is go through and finish everything because I'm sick of seeing that half painted bespoke lantern that I've been making. So it's definitely just like the finishing and execution stage is where I'm at. I'd love to get a few songs to final with your help and with anybody else's help to take it there and say, actually, we're going to target this for one artist. And if that artist doesn't work, who's the next one? And get the feedback. I definitely want a collaboration in my professional music life, as if I have one. I will. But I think I've said this to you all along. Like, for me, it's learning from the people around me. I'm not here to... I've got the benefit of having a stable job and I'm very aware of that, but I've also built it for myself. But I want to be surrounded by people that want to achieve the same kind of wild aspirations that I have and want to do it collaboratively and fairly, which I also know is very difficult in this industry. And it's something that I'm learning about. But I've definitely practiced what I've preached in my industry. So trying to replicate that, I guess, finding the right people.
I wanted to say, because I was going to talk about where we're going to take your portfolio. Because as Hannah said, we just racked up every song and went, okay, this is going to be this song. But we were also talking about repurposing things for like hook packs and beat packs. Do you want to tell that one as well? Because that's pretty funny. And that was like a week ago. That's what actually made me go like, right, she's got to come on the show. The story of where you ended up.
Oh, well, last week. Okay, so I was shooting for a L'Oreal brand, IT Cosmetics. I was at a studio, hadn't been there before. Last minute, had to change plans, ended up in this place, the yard.
Oh, brilliant. Tile yard.
Right. Anyway, lovely place. Has a really nice beer garden place. Lovely. I was shooting and then I was out at lunch. Turns out the videographer that I used, I hadn't worked with him before. His name's Toby Leary. Lovely guy. His main kind of expertise is in music video space. So he works with a lot of directors, etc., and knows a lot of musicians. Anyway, at lunch, I was showing him my songs. I was like, what do you think? And he was like, nah, these are sick. Like, cool, respect, whatever. And I looked behind me and there was like quite obviously a few music studios, me having no clue what they are. But I was like, oh, I'm going to, after this shoot wraps, I'm just going to go knock on their door. And Heather was like, why would you knock on their door? I was like, why wouldn't I? I don't understand why.
So anyway, what's the question?
The shoot wraps and we go outside, sit down. I was just like, I'll get a drink first. Look on the table and it turns out there's like an event this night, and I look at the leaflet and it's something about like management for songwriters. I'm like, oh, only me would be sat on this table, clearly in an event. Anyway, so turns out it's a event for music managers only, like mainly music managers. What's it called?
MMF, I believe it's called. MMU. I was like, is it MMU? He's like, no, it's probably something better. MMF, I believe it's called.
So was talking with the owner of the studio. He was like, oh yeah, Mark Ronson used to be based here. There's Apple Music, there's Spotify. I was like, okay, cool. Like, not obviously, bad. Obviously. So I'm sat there. It then gets heaving and it turns out it's like this ticketed event. Like, obviously I'm sat in the middle of it, have no idea what I'm doing.
Of course.
And I have Logic up, which is also embarrassing. I didn't know that part. But anyway, I was showing someone my beats for some reason. And obviously I'm in this room of like very professional people and I am showing my beats. It's like, go home. Anyway, I'm sat there and And Heather's like, I know that guy behind you is probably important because she just got a vibe. I was like, oh, I'll go talk to him then. So I knock on his shoulder and I'm like, can I introduce myself? And he was one of the main managers that was invited to the event, and he had all his, lots of his singers. I really don't know the
artists.
Lingo to this.
Yeah, artists. Yeah, yeah. Artists, yeah.
I need to buck up. So he had some artists with him. We got pretty friendly. Like, they're based in Leicester. I'm going to go and do a session with them soon, which is fun. So I go and meet him. Awesome. He's like, you're a bit crazy. Like, why are you here? I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but hi, nice to meet you. And then go and come back. Heather's sat with someone else and she's like, oh, Hannah, meet this guy. He's a manager. I'm like, oh, great. Nice to meet you. I'm like, why are you here? He's like, oh, I'm on the board of their member. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm sat with the board member. Okay, cool. And then I get a tap on my shoulder from this dancing, like really cool dancing guy. He's like, can I sit here? I was like, yeah, fine. Turns out he's the CEO like guy. So he's now sat on my table. So I'm sat with the board members and I'm talking to them about what I want to be doing. I'm like, I want to write this song for so-and-so, and they're really giving me attention. And I look around and this place is like heaving with like, obviously everyone in the industry, just like, and I look around and I'm literally sat with the main people that have built this event. And it's just so classic.
Yeah, because again, you can look at MMF and you'll see that the person Hannah was talking to, there was two in particular. One of them is the recent featured manager. You can go and check that out. And then another one was someone who's responsible for... Because we talked about it from day one, right? This is what's funny. This is Hannah in a fucking nutshell. Day one, we talked about Georgia Smith because we think she's amazing. And I use her a lot in examples, right? And then you're like, you know, probably you said, I would love one day, because you were like, one day, not now, to write for Georgia Smith. And the guy was like, oh, what? Yeah, discovered her. It was that level of conversation. And of course, a lot of people like claim to have discovered artists and whatever, but this dude had genuinely been a part of that. So the reason that's fucking hilarious is because you've gone out and achieved something inside 4 months. Yep. And it's not, I would only take credit for some of the stuff that you've worked hard to apply to your writing, but the other half has always been you.
Yeah.
And I think it always will be you. And the reason I want to bring it up is because you mentioned the manager who you're going to go and look at working with some of their artists, because they had singers, I believe, like kind of R&B, they had rap, they had kind of pop, trap, everything. Yeah. So in my head, I was like, right, because Hannah, again, had these like 40 songs and there were these kind of moments of magic that I saw early on. And then as we had those more consistent songs, those are the ones we moved into the 10. But I was like, hey, wait, Hannah, again, this is for practical stuff for people that are listening as well. If you're going to go in with a bunch of artists that are rappers, singers of different ages, what you probably want is a beat pack. So a bunch of beats without any vocals just to throw in at some rappers. Because again, I think you were doing that, which is awesome. And then also any parts of the songs that we thought were like, okay, that's a nice section, but we can't use the rest of it yet.
Yep.
Go straight into the hook pack. And then what you do, you go to the day and you've got, here's my beats, here's my hooks, here's my songs, which you still need to work on. But then they're like, okay, cool. This person's at least kind of getting it. So just for people listening, I think Hannah did a great job of pivoting on that. And what was your goal starting out? Even selfishly, was it like, I want to write, I want to be the next this, I want to be the next that? What was it?
To be honest, the second I realized that I had something that I believed in, and that was quite early on, like I maybe didn't admit it outwardly, but and I think still I don't, but I will write songs that are in the charts. I will, and these songs will go there, and that's my goal. And it's my actual goal is to do it with a team that haven't believed in themselves, because that's the same that I've done with Fresh Heather. I built this around someone that was really talented, and I had the skill as well, but she wouldn't, I think she would say it as well, she would not be here if I hadn't have said like, let's go. And I'm still, I guess, looking for that team and those people that I think will put in the same amount as me and want to do it. Like I said to you from the start, if we work on a song, we'll do it together. It's not a selfish endeavor for me, and it never will be. That's just not how I like to do things. Like I like to do it together. I love to learn. I love to like prove myself and other people wrong and be the confidence that they need as well, because I definitely have with work some weird blind confidence that I'm really grateful for, and I think it came from not being believed in as a child or something.
You bounce the other way because a lot of people, even myself, like I similar things, not exactly the same as you, because we won't go into those nuts stories of that part of your life, because that's different, but you draw from that. But even for me, I kind of folded inwards, and I have friends that are great writers who've maybe folded inwards, whereas you managed to fold outwards. And I want you as an outlier to talk about that, you know, going forward. And I think you're doing such a great job. And I even remember at the start, I was like, okay, when I heard you were singing, I was like, okay, singing is not her main thing yet. And then recently I'm hearing stuff, I'm like, do you know what? Like, regardless of the outcomes, I think you should probably do like your own little four track thing. Cause you've got this wonderful, you even use your spoken voice with hooks as an artist. And even like that, that's really cool. So let's quickly talk about, well, not quickly, where are you sitting right now? And what plans do you have for that space?
Yeah. So I think just more recently, I've definitely been allowing myself to potentially think of the idea of being the artist as well, or the singer or whatever. I think there's really something in my lyrics that it's important for me to say. And I think some of them will have barriers for someone else saying, or they just won't come across in the same way. Because I talk about a lot of, well, personal issues, social issues, things that are really important to me and I think need to be said. If they were to go to someone else, it has to be the right person that also stands for those things. And I don't know how big that pool is, or how brave people are going to be to sing something that's maybe so controversial or so raw. At the moment, sitting in the space of wanting to refine what I've got, I need help with production on vocals, definitely, / it's time for me to learn. I'm also in the space of kind of learning different ways to create beats and ways to structure songs. My biggest struggle at the moment is kind of the ending of songs. So I want to be learning how to do that correctly and successfully. But I definitely see, kind of before end of the year, I'd like to get some songs, well, finalized and out in some space, whether probably sung by myself. I think TikTok's a great platform at the moment. And some of the songs I have are a really important message that could be picked up on there.
For sure.
And then separately be having those conversations with the right people, artist-wise, that I want to be working with. I think from my understanding, it's probably going to be more of a collaborative process when I actually get into those spaces and finding the right artists that I can build a relationship with. I don't want to spread myself too thin. So I've had a really good positive response from conversations I've had. So far, no doors have been shut, which has made me realize I'm going to slow down and be more specific about the doors that I do knock on, because otherwise I'm going to have a lot of people that are saying yes and then I will let them down. So that's kind of me halting. I'm not ready to take my songs places yet until I'm super, super proud of them. And I do actually have the reassurance now from people I've met that I can go into those bigger spaces. So I just don't want to lose that opportunity when I get it.
That's beautifully said. It's I only laugh and I only call you mad because I really respect what you've been able to achieve. And I hope you know that. And I'm really enjoying pushing you as well, because that's what we signed up for, right? We spoke at the start. I was like, you know, I think, obviously I have a vested interest to say that, but I thought, I think you can actually learn to be a writer if you ... and you've ... far beyond like what I expected. And I think, again, like in terms of Hannah's diligence, she sat now with, you know, a nice entry level vocal microphone so she can put stuff down when she's ready. She's got speakers, she's got computer. And it's hilarious because we never really talk about it. And I run my own business. I'm starting my own business, but Hannah's got her own office. She's just setting up, bought a house, you know, recently, all of her own work. And then she's got interns coming in and out behind her. And never for a moment has she lorded that over me. Never for a moment has she referenced that. She's just gone and taken that. And I think what you said really well just then was like, you are really smashing it in terms of going out, and you know you can do it again, going out and finding people to work with. And now you're like, okay, the preparation half of that equation, you're like, I think I just want to sit and learn and write this and get that half together. Because you even, when we spoke privately, which is not going to be a huge surprise because you talked about it, but you were a bit like, you know, should I be going out and like writing songs? Because there are people that have done it for 10 years and you came into contact, some of them don't like it, but as someone who has been writing for that long, I only think there's more space for great people with the right attitude.
I think it's as well, like, we need more trailblazers. I'm not saying myself, but like, I think we need more people that say that you can do it without the things that you think you need. And it's why I've always been so, so passionate about saying like, well, I didn't go to uni. I didn't go to XYZ. I didn't have my parents fund this. I didn't have the people like telling me I was good. Like, I just believed in it, and like it's got me to where I am today, not without struggle, I will say. I have achieved a lot and I'm super, super proud of that, and I think my professional journey has been really, really positive. the only thing I would say that nobody else sees is how hard I worked. And I will never, ever, ever diminish how much work I put into anything. I think you can see it from the outside and think this girl just like walks in and like things fall on her lap. It is not for the lack of like work.
You could think that, but I quickly had that removed from my mind. And it wasn't something I started with anyway, because that's not how I was brought up. But if someone was to look at you like that, I realized that the amount of WhatsApps that were coming in with, got this new song, and generally they were new, and she's filling up this folder of our shared folder. I was like, she could be lying on our Zoom call. She could be saying anything, but you can't fake that level of like, here's a new song, unless you've been writing for the last 10 years and it's all been a secret.
No, I wish. But it's the same with everything in my business. Like I don't recommend this, but I have the skill of everyone in my team. We've got kind of 12 full-time at the moment. We've got like 30, 40, 50 freelancers. Like every part of the job is something I've also taught myself to do. And I kind of did that out of protection, honestly, because I found a lot of people at a young age would take me for granted, charge me more, tell me bullshit lies just to kind of cover their own backs. And I said to myself, well, if I know how to do everything, not in an ego way, but if I know how to do everything, then I'm never going to get screwed over because I know what to expect. And it doesn't mean that I have to employ it every day, but it's like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I'm not saying for people that don't know how to do other people's jobs, you're a hypocrite, but for myself personally, it's just a value I've held really tight. And it's the same with songwriting. I'm going to learn to songwrite. I'm going to learn to sing. I'm going to learn to produce. I'm going to learn to master. I will learn it all because that is the best way for me to succeed for myself.
And I would actually recommend that. I think Hannah is someone that, by virtue of who she is, will take that to the extreme and in a really positive way. So I don't need to worry about other people doing that because they just don't have the same pizzazz as you. they just won't. But at the same time, I'm very aware of what producing is, what production is, how to do vocals. Because then when I go and work with someone like Ed Graves or like Takahide, hopefully I spend more time with you, much love, at Tower Yard, which is funny. We were laughing about
that
when I told him.
That's so funny.
And Grace as well. I love those guys. But again, Grace is a fantastic producer, fantastic singer, writer, but she will then defer to someone who she trusts, like you. You know the skill yourself. You go and do it. And I can speak for Hannah as well, because we'll log on and she'll screen share me something that she's working on. It's just hilarious, like what she's able to do or her painting. Or she's like, I just woke up because I had a new client. And I think I have learned a lot by osmosis of just like, because again, you've invested in you were confident you could learn how to write songs. So you invested in us working together so that you could learn to do that and go and do it. And my goal is I teach people pushing real hard at the start. And then I just gently watch you kind of like float and you'll come back for stuff if you need it. But another thing you've done, which again, you're ticking all these boxes that I find to be congruent with people that do well, regardless of, I'm learning from you, regardless of industry. But you've also started to look at working with some people. You don't have to name them, but like, who have you been going out to try and find and work with, aside from me?
Yeah, well, aside from you, James.
Right.
It's kind of just been expanding my network, like talking to different artists, like understanding different sounds, showing different people. There's been, as I said, I've like been really lucky with a lot of positive feedback so far. I think one thing I've done for myself, though, is take a step back. I think it's very easy to think you're not good enough at something, so you should reach out to someone else to help. And I think this is where I reflect inwards and actually where I've met a really good producer. I think, okay, why are they that good? And I'm actually just going to go away and like hone on my skills a bit more before I go. Like, I don't want to think someone else is needed to do a job that I need. So at the moment, I've met all these amazingly talented people. We're all probably doing the same thing. And I've felt a lot of the energy, and this isn't with judgment, but it's quite desperate energy in the music industry because everyone's looking for someone else to tell them they're good or take them somewhere else, or they're praying and hoping. Okay. I had a really interesting conversation with someone and he was really praying and hoping things were going to work out. And I don't relate to that mindset, because for me, it's a formula. You put in X, Y, and Z and it will make what you need.
Well, we just talked about it, right? It's like preparation, opportunity, deliver it like a human.
Yeah, like it's the same with our, like the business I have. Say I wanted to work with L'Oreal. Well, what are the steps to get to that? Who do you
talk
to? In doing a sale, a business sale, you've got to analyze what's in front of you and get to the decision maker. So first and foremost, you have to have a skill. You can't, I if I genuinely wasn't good at songwriting, God forbid, I hope you'd tell me, because I wouldn't go into the room. If I was really, really bad at long jump, I don't want to go and try out for the Olympics, then you look silly. But I want to train to, I wouldn't go to the long jump qualifications until I'd gone and trained on track for the right amount of time with all the best trainers. Mm. I used to ride horses to a kind of quite a high level. I trained with all the right people. I learned all the right skills. I worked in day out, 4 a.m. starts to do it right. And I didn't go into those rooms until I was going to win. And I still never thought I was good enough, which is another situation. I still don't, maybe with what I've built here. But I think it's not that I would just say, I think it's very hard to say about yourself. I don't think I'm humble, because I think we all have flaws and whatever. But I see myself as everybody else. And I think there's the same opportunity for everyone. And I really see the girls in my team, if they were to work hard enough, they could be in this chair. And it's probably the difference between me and some people is some people don't want to, and that's okay. That's their value. Like, we have different values. Mine at that time was working hard for something. Doesn't make me better or worse, but I sacrificed a lot of my teens and early 20s in building this, and it definitely destroyed my mental health. So I don't think it's a good thing, but my value was this, and that's the only difference, I think.
So well explained, because it's exactly what I'm trying to bang on about, and will be banging on about more, because you're just a human. Proof of it is that, you know, if you think you have enough skill to do something very well, in your case, we're going to put together this portfolio and we're going to make it great. And I think you're going to be able to sell it to someone. You're going to sell yourself to someone. But then the point is, like you said, is then you get the opportunity. That's what I want to say to people, is like, the people that are hoping and wishing, fine, it might come along because you're good enough and someone knows you. It's that reverse of the equation. But then are you going to be able to reproduce it? Are you going to be able to sell that and sell yourself?
And also, one thing I would say about that is that energy, from a professional point of view, I do have this lens, which is really good, is not attractive for someone that's going to buy. So to see someone that doesn't believe in themselves, yes, it's sweet. Yes, I feel like you should believe in yourself, but that is not attractive. It's not a magnetic quality. And one thing I know I do have is this, like, the literally everyday confidence where other people will have self-doubt, and it is magnetic, and it's something people always tell me, but I think it should be normalized. But if I believe in myself, someone's a lot quicker to believe in me and trust in me. And it's the same with my clients. If I say I can do a 4-day green screen shoot and put it on cinema, and I say it with confidence, they're going to buy into it. If I say, oh, I'm a bit worried about that, I don't know how well it will go, well, why would they pay me? They should go somewhere else.
It's awesome. Yeah, there's a lot. Again, like I said, you kind of made me face a lot of the things that I thought I dealt with and haven't, in terms of like,
sorry,
fucking go and do it. No, I wanted to get you on, because it's like, I want people to, just being honest, like, I think you're brilliant, and you're along the lines of obviously what I want people to hear, what I'm doing. But it's just a really cool thing to go out and believe in yourself enough that people are magnetized to you. And those are people, like you said, that have worked with ...... ...... But you work with ...... ...... in your everyday life, and you've never really told me about it. And I have to bring it out of you, just like, let's get better at songwriting. So
I mean, also it doesn't matter. And I think that's the thing. Like, there is space for everyone. And if I'd spent my first 5 years of my career looking at everyone else and thinking, oh, but they're doing more, I wouldn't be here. Like, I didn't even think about anybody else in my industry. There are hundreds of agencies and hundreds of creative directors that are all better than me or have done more, but like, I never even looked at it, so I had no doubt. I was doing my journey.
Exactly,
my journey was right.
Songwriting. You did exactly the same. You went, oh, someone said, oh, you can't do that. I went, sorry, why? Like, the door's open and they're nice people and I believe in what I'm doing. And again, I did have to go like, hold on there, soldier, let's make these presentable, and we're going to get there for sure. But I have real faith. And like you said, you've taken the little corner in it. I've seen like 16 London buses go by. It must be a beautiful spot you're in. But you've taken it, you've already renovated it, you've put stuff in, you're going to look at studio treatment, you're texting me like, okay, what's the next level of gear I need to get, or like, what's kind of stuff? And again, I have to almost stop you. I'm like, you know, maybe I shouldn't be, but I'm like, you've got the great stuff. Focus on this. And if I'm right, you're like Wandsworth area, right? And you want to start. Yeah. Because again, this pod goes a lot to America, so it might not be as practical, but in London as well.
My mum's American, like, so it's fine.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, the relative listening. But again, I'll do my utmost as well to think, you know, do I know someone that's that area that's looking for ...... or do I know someone that wants to be a part of what you're doing, like you said, and collaborate. And no doubt you'll find them before me anyway, but it's just cool. And I think tell people about what you're trying to build, and if you have the right attitude, they'll come.
Yeah. So, I mean, the one thing I would say is I've obviously worked very hard in my other kind of flow of work, that I'm very privileged to be able to afford the equipment. I don't think it's a necessity. I mean, we all know the stories of the songwriters and the singers that do it from their bedroom on their phone. So I would just say, like, this is a benefit, and yeah, great, it gives me the tools. But I was doing it with nothing before, and I would continue to as well.
Mate, you're doing it with, like, absolute bare bones, like,
yeah, nothing.
Hannah's got condenser mic, a nice like Rode setup, a little vibe. She's got an Akai keyboard. She's got that.
Yeah.
Really, she's still bedroom.
Still
producing.
Very small, but still for someone that maybe doesn't have the income, like
anything.
It's a few thousand
exactly.
pounds, whatever, it's still expensive. So I don't want to say like you could just go out tomorrow and get all of this stuff, because I don't think you can. But I've got space here that's large. We've got a photo studio, we build a sound room, meeting room, etc. This is my door will be open for a creative hub. I think one thing I want to have here is a space where artists can come down and say, hey, can I actually just use the studio for a bit? And that this isn't a business for me at the moment. Like, this is not for me to make money. This is like just for me to be creative. I want to link with people. Like, I want to bounce off them and do it for fun. It's not a chore. It's the same like with my work. Is we've got some great resources. We've got great people. Like, my doors are open to interns that want to learn and like see it happen. And if you're the right person with the right attitude, you'll take it somewhere. My career started out because I got a 2-week internship at an agency, and off the back of that, I worked really hard on those 2 weeks. I really impressed them. Very, like, okay to say that, because I can see how people work, and I definitely overworked. I ended up with a full-time job there, kind of as a, I'd say, middleweight designer, designed apps for them within the first like 3-4 months, having never made an app. And then Fresh Heather came along, but only as a result of, like, I went into my first ever workplace with confidence and said, okay, well, I'm going to prove myself here. So what I want for this space is people like that to walk through the door. Like, if someone messages me and says, like, actually, I really want to record something, like, I do not know how to help you, but my kit's here, come and use it. Like, I'll teach you the way that, like, I'm learning. And whether that's right or wrong, I think what I'm learning as well is that there isn't really a right or wrong with all of these
no,
things.
No, there's whether people respond to it emotionally. That's what we come back to, isn't it? It's like, I'm not going to bore you. And maybe I go a bit heavy on technique sometimes, but not with you. I've just gone, tried to speak really plainly and practically, because I think you just go and take it and you do it. Again, I love that, because you're going to see that you're kind of a patron of the arts. That's what I saw. Last week we called, maybe 2 weeks. I was like, where are you, mate? And you're like, oh, I'm just setting up a new studio. I was like, okay, what are you doing? Hopefully it's for your work, right? Like, yeah, I'm just going to turn it into a studio, really. I was like, amazing. And then it's like, in my head, it's the young artists or whatever that can come in and just have a space, or some kid who's going to mix a Grammy record in 15 years might just wander in and go, can I just try and learn how to do this computer thing? And if Hannah's there, and you're going to grow as you go, I really want to make sure that you do that and hold you accountable. But
yeah,
I just think there isn't really a more kind of wholesome approach to this than what you're doing currently. So I just want to do my bit to share that. And I think I'll do my best as well to advise you as to how to set things up, because I'm learning with Ed in Bath. He's an absolute genius. And I think if we can all learn together, like you said, if everyone has the right mindset, I believe I'm getting you properly, is that you would trust someone to make use of what you have if they have the right mindset.
Definitely. I think, and it just really goes back to like, there's space for everyone, and just removing any amount of like seeing someone as competition. It's the same, like, my doors have been open for people that have agencies like mine and are in the same position. Like, I've never shut a door on anyone. I've been the one to give them the email address. Like, I just think there's space for everyone, and the people that do it right and with genuine intentions, like, they will always prevail. And those that have done it with bad intentions or taken a contact and done wrong by me, like, good for you, like, see you soon. It's happened to me in many areas, and it will happen again, but that's life. Like, you're going to have good times, you're going to have bad times. But I think we've got to have an expectation that that's just life. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid meeting the wrong people or doing the wrong thing or putting out a bad song. Like, you're not going to avoid that. Like, it's part of it. all of my mistakes. I made so many mistakes, personally, professionally, whatever. I can't avoid it. So it's like more like getting excited for what that is. And when you and I met, I think I was probably in the worst place of my life, like, to be totally honest. And we scratched the surface. You don't really know too much. But like, I don't think I left my house for like 4 months, like very, 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 very bad place. And through that, I think I wrote some great songs. I'm actually really like happy about that. But I needed it. And I'm now in a much better place, still coming out of it. But like, brightness in my life is so much brighter than it would have been without it. And the connections I've made through that time, I think, yeah, it's just, I think my message is just not seeing anything as right or wrong. Like, our journeys are our journeys, whether you're completely broke and hopeless and have no inspiration right now, that's what you need. Like, you need it. Like, see you next week when you've decided you're going to climb Mount Everest or something, because it will happen. So yeah, that's definitely my mindset.
Amazing. What a way to close it for today. No doubt I'll be getting you back on when you start up your own production house. But the last thing I would say is, after thank you, and I really appreciate that, you know, James, for connecting us and stuff like that. You do have a magnetism. And I think if you can, like, when you get to naming your space, try and reflect that level of confidence and self-acceptance in the name. I don't know how you can do that. You'll find that. But I feel like that might be a really cool name. And as I said, this is goodbye from Hannah for now, for those of you guys listening. But if you want to get in touch with her, do so. We'll include that if you're in London, in Wandsworth, because this will come out only about a month or so after we record it. So just hit her up.
I will definitely have a full studio by then. So
no doubt. I'll come visit as well. Thank you so much for everything like that you give. And when I see you next time, I'll be back on pushing you, kicking your ass. But yeah, I look forward to the next session. And thank you so much for today.
Definitely. You're so welcome. Thank you.
Hello there, sweet listener. Thank you for listening to today's show. And I just wanted to say, we do have an Instagram. I know that some of you guys are quite interested in just sending those private emails, and I promise you they are absolute gold dust to me. And I love receiving those emails when people get time to send them with their songs, with their questions. And mainly, I love your stories about how you're listening to the show, where you found it, what it means to you. Those are the things I'll probably take to my grave, to be completely honest. But if you want to be out there on social media, please get in touch. I wish I knew that pod on Instagram. We're going to be getting stuff up on YouTube as well. Reach out, send me a DM, send me a voice note, send me a video. I want to see you guys. I want to see your shows. I want to hear your songs. Thank you again for listening to the show. If you want to be involved and get full value for your creative process, please do so. But if you're one of those wonderful people that just likes to sit and observe, I know you're out there, and thank you so much for your attention. It really does mean a lot. So no need to get in touch, but if you feel like you want to be involved, please do so. Much love and bye-bye.